Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
I think Rondo is a fiery trash can. Rondo can't shoot. After his awful season in Dallas, he's shown that he is a huge problem. He is awful, and the Celtics have won the 2008 NBA Finals without Rajon Rondo as their point guard.
Hit record. That'd be good. That would be good.
Alright, I just did.
Alright, sweet.
Me and Kyle Lance, my co-host on my podcast, do it over Google Hangouts. If we have problems with that, I might do the same thing we're doing now, because I had never thought of that before.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a pretty smart guy. I'm very resourceful. Some people aren't. You know, it's like nothing against you, man. You know, like, I'm sure you're a great guy. But, you know, thanks for listening to Almighty Ball and the Almighty Podcast, and I'm here today with, you know what, Keenan? I'm going to give you a full introduction fit for a king. This is Keenan Womack, one of my best friends, one of the greatest writers on almightyballer.com, a beautiful man, a beautiful soul, a beautiful human being. Keenan.
Can't argue with any of those points. What's going on, everybody?
That is the introduction that you deserve. I think after a streak of like four, you know, jocular...
Clowning me a little bit.
Yeah. All right.
Everybody needs to be clowned a little bit.
Oh, hey, speaking of being clowned a little bit, listen to Straight Out of College, their interview with Oliver Maroney.
Oh, yeah.
And listen to Free Agency Shindig, you know.
Pretty good jokes. Jokes for everybody.
He doesn't actually live in a dumpster, guys. Promise. But the man who just chuckled, and I do mean man... What a man.
What a man.
Jeremy Chisenhall. He's a writer for Sea of Blue. Editor, right? You know?
Yes, yes.
You know, on top of that, he's the co-host of the J&K podcast. And who's your luxurious podcast co-host?
It would be Kyle Lance. One heck of a guy as well.
What a man. Yeah, they talk about, you know, basketball. Sometimes it's Kentucky because, you know, my man here is a Kentucky... man, and sometimes they talk NBA basketball. I saw some free agency stuff, you know, some draft stuff. It was a mock draft. Was it a live free agency podcast or a live draft podcast?
We did a live free agency podcast at midnight when free agency started, through the first couple hours of free agency.
So, which got more views, you or Woj?
Oh, it was definitely Woj. I think we made a run at him.
It was neck and neck.
It was an honest effort, but I think he had us beat by just a bit.
It's like when you guys play Morehead State at the beginning of the season. They'll make a little run at you, and then you just bury
him. Yeah. Man, I'm just gonna cut this, but like my like first instinct was like,
hey,
but like, hey, that's crude and
that's where Cameron Artis Payne played, man.
And I don't need to say that right now. Wait, Cameron Payne?
He went by Cameron Artis Payne back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Cameron Payne played there.
The artist formerly known as Cameron Artis
Payne. Hey, I like that.
There we go. All right, so Jeremy.
Yes.
What are we here to talk about? I have amnesia, retrograde amnesia. I forgot why we're recording this podcast, so just let me and the listeners know really quick. What are we going to be discussing at large today on the Almighty Podcast, part of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network? Go ahead.
Well, it surprises me that you have amnesia that quickly since we just discussed it, but I'll go ahead and let you know. We are going to be talking about...
Woodstock, you know?
Ultra was crazy.
We are going to be talking about Kentucky players in the NBA.
That's right. You know, here at the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, we like to have tie-ins,
references. Riffing.
Jokes. So, you know, recently we had a great podcast, 103, Cal in the Draft 360, and I think some people didn't get that. It's because, like, they had the third pick and the 60th pick. Because the third pick was Jaylen Brown, and the 60th pick was some other dude. I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
But, like, that was why it was 360. Anyways, and then now we're doing a Kentucky college basketball tie-in, you know, with my main men, Keenan and Jeremy. And let's go ahead and get started. Enough with the yik yak.
Yeah, with my main man.
You talkie, you walkie-talkies. So, the new guys, all right? You know, the guys who are entering their rookie years in the NBA. There's three of them. I'm not sure if you knew that, Jeremy, but there is, in fact, three.
I wasn't quite aware of that.
So, you know, I just sort of want to start with Scal because I think there's so many question marks around Scal and, like, what the hell happened? Because, you know, this is a kid who straight up dominated a man who was, like, 4 or 5 years older than him. I'm talking about Thon Maker, of course. And he's doing that at... I'm just kidding, you know, I don't know.
But not really.
But, you know, he was neck and neck with Ben Simmons for the longest time about who this best player is going to be, you know, in this year's draft. But then all of a sudden, you know, he goes and Cal, you know, Cal has sort of said a couple times, Coach Cal, head coach of Kentucky, that, you know, he was partially to blame. What do you think, Jeremy? Why Scal depreciate and scal you? I just thought of that off the top of my head.
You're so clever.
I think that a lot of people believe that Cal did not use Scal in the way that he should have. You look at LeBissiere's frame, and it's pretty clear that he's not, at the moment, meant to play down low, and I think that's what Cal wanted him to be, was kind of a big man in the paint, and that's not how he plays. He's more of a stretch four, and I think that's the reason why Cal feels he's partly to blame, is because he didn't really play him the way that he should have in order to maximize Scal's value going into the draft.
Yeah, you know, I think that, and Keenan can attest to this, you know, we were thinking about all the best Cal players who are in the NBA right now, and it seems like, did I say Cal? I meant...
Well,
like,
I mean, it's sort of true. Yeah, I mean, all like the Kentucky players the
right,
last few years.
It's like, you know, all of the best ones are big men. So I think that that's, you know, basically what Coach Cal is comfortable with, right, is developing bigs. And, you know, they gave him something that's a little bit out of his wheelhouse, and he was like, what do I do with this?
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. He's used to, you know, the DeMarcus Cousins, the Patrick Pattersons, the Anthony Davises that can, you know, Davis wasn't big, but he could still play down low because he could block shots so well.
Yeah.
And LeBissiere just didn't have that inside presence.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was super wiry, too. He wasn't really built to play inside yet, at least. You know, he definitely needs to pack some weight on. But, I mean, early on, I think part of the thing was that also he didn't have a great feel for the game necessarily. I mean, I think it was against... I can't remember. It was an early season game. I think it was before conference play started. And he had a 0-0 game with 4 fouls. Like, he had no stats other than fouls or something like that. And that doesn't necessarily, like, happen with a player unless that player is not used to the competition level. And coming from... where did he come from? Haiti, right?
Yes, he's a he's from Haiti.
Yeah, he's Haitian. So he moved to the States when he was probably 16 or something. So I mean, but then again, you also have him dominating in like the Nike Hoop Summit or whatever. So it's very weird. I'm personally of the opinion that Calipari is a fantastic recruiter and a great leader, but not necessarily a really good X's and O's guy. What are your thoughts on his coaching style?
I think that when you look at his X's and O's, as you say, they're not exactly the best. You're right, he's better as a recruiter, but I think that what he lacks in, you know, the strategy and the skill of it, he more than makes up for, not only in recruiting, but in developing these players. I mean, he didn't handle LeBissiere well, I don't think, because he tried to put him into a mold, into a position that he's really not comfortable performing in. But he has developed other players so well, both on and off the floor, and I think that he's really made up for his lack of expertise in the X's and O's in that sense.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that.
The problem with those coaches that are like that, though, that are moral...
Rick Barnes,
like,
for example,
you know,
from Texas.
The team morale stalwarts. You know, the problem with coaches like that, you know, guys like in the NBA, Avery Johnson, You know, the former coach of the Pelicans, you know who I'm talking about? His wife tragically died.
Yeah.
What's his name? Monty Williams.
Monty Williams.
A guy like Monty Williams, the current head coach of the Raptors, guys like Dwayne Casey. You can have a great regular season record, you know, like the Raptors were the second best team in the East all season long. You know, the Pelicans had like a 48-win season recently, made it to the playoffs. You know, you can really get the most out of your players until you get into the playoffs, but then, you know, the intensity kicks up, the strategy kicks up, and you see, you know, first round exits like Avery had, you know, in that tragic 2006, 2007, I think it was that.
It was 06, 07.
Yeah, that first round exit, you know, the Raptors were kind of underwhelming in the playoffs this year, even though they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. It was kind of, you know, eh. And, you know what I mean? And I think that that's maybe part of the reason why Cal has had these super dominant NCAA regular season teams, but then, you know, it comes around tourney time, and he just, you know, can't get the upper hand in terms of that coaching, upper ground. He's like Anakin, and Obi-Wan is the other team, and he doesn't have the higher ground, you know?
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to make a quick point. I've always thought of, like, Calipari, when he coached in the NBA, coached the Knicks, and they didn't do that well. Was it the Nets?
It was Jason Kidd.
Oh, that's right. I always thought, like, you know, I think that that's more of a test of your X's and O's, as opposed to in college, you kind of control your own roster. And, you know, Calipari is just so good at recruiting. I mean, just the amount of names that he's coached, I mean, including not even at Kentucky. I mean, Derrick Rose. He got Marcus Camby to come to UMass, which, you know, all that got redacted. But, you know, either way, he's gotten some super outstanding players, and he's turned them into superstars. And I also agree with you that he's a really good developer of talent, and I think he's a good scout of talent as well.
Yeah, I'd have to agree that he's a good scout of talent.
Yeah, Jeremy, so how do you think it comes to be that Cal, you know, gets all of these players? You know, is it, you know, some dirty dealings, or is it, you know, one of those things where, you know, he really just has a great eye? Because, you know, I can't figure it out, you know?
I don't think it's dirty dealings. He's definitely had his questionable past. But at Kentucky, I think that he has been given the platform he needs to excel at recruiting. I mean, so many players want to come to Kentucky for its rich tradition and history.
Rich like they make a lot of money?
Well, their basketball program certainly brings in a lot of money, but I meant their team's success. He boasts not only that for recruits, but also he shows them how far he can get them, not only in college, you know, showing that he can get them a national championship or at least have them competing for one, but also getting into the NBA and having a lot of success there and making a lot of money, as, you know, he shows these recruits guys like Anthony Davis, who is one of the best players in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I tend to agree with you. I think that there were some things in the past, like with Memphis, and there were some ties between him and like World Wide West. But I think now he's just at such a powerhouse, and he's just shown. I mean, it's such a. I was reading through Sea of Blue today, and somebody wrote an article basically about how Kentucky is the best place for guys to go if they want to end up in the NBA. I don't know. I always kind of considered it like the minor leagues to like going up to the NBA. Like, it's just so every single year you get three or four dudes drafted, you know, and like it's very impressive. I don't think that it's dirty now. I think that he doesn't need to be at this point. I think that it would be an unnecessary risk for him to be dealing dirty at this point.
Yeah, I agree with you that it's basically like the minor leagues.
Catch him riding dirty.
Oh, yeah. yeah, exactly.
So, about these guys, this new trio, the trio of recruits coming out of Kentucky this year. Jeremy, we talked a little bit about Scal. It didn't seem like you had very many scalding hot takes, you know, but...
It's my joke.
but maybe, Jamal, your thoughts about Jamal are... I don't fucking know what I'm doing right now. What do you think about Jamal Murray?
I think that Murray boasts one of the best shooting strokes in this draft class. And if he has the work ethic necessary to be great in the NBA, I think that he could easily be one of the best shooters in the league by the time he retires. I mean, you saw it at Kentucky game in and game out, how easily he can get hot, how far he can shoot the ball from. I mean, he's got a chance to be a real three-point specialist in the NBA.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. He has really deep range too, and yeah, he's got really good size as well. He's 6'5" or so, so he can shoot over people as well.
Well, I mean, he's going to be playing the shooting guard position, so I think
he played combo at Kentucky though, some with Ulis, because Ulis was usually the one, but he'd play one sometimes too.
Yeah, I guess he would play one at least for this Denver team that has, you know, I think going forward the plan will be to slide him to one. And then, you know, depending on how development goes, either Will Barton will play the two.
Yeah, exactly.
Gary Harris will play the two while Mudiay sits.
But yeah, he has a really deep range that is very impressive. I agree that he could definitely be one of the better three-point shooters in the league in the next few years.
But here's the thing about Jamal Murray, though. You know, does he have more to offer than just, you know, a three-point specialist, to use your words? Because I think in a way, you know, three-point specialist is like saying, oh, yeah, that guy's a great motor. It's like, it's almost like saying, yeah, she's got a great personality.
It's like limiting.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know.
Backhanded compliment.
Well, I don't want to be backhanding anyone, Keenan, but.
Sorry.
You know, what do you think, man? I mean, I feel like there's, you know, maybe not a lot of hope for him in terms of defense. Maybe the best that you can expect is for him to be not bad, you know, like not a active detractor on the defensive end, but even that to me is a little bit of a stretch. But I think on offense he might be able to you know, maybe build some stuff around that three-point shooting that could sort of, you know, trampoline him into, you know, a higher echelon of scorers than the three-point specialist, you know, like the Steve Novaks of the world.
Well, yeah, I think as far as defensively goes, that's where the work ethic comes in, and he's got to develop on the defensive end. But I definitely think that he is versatile enough to grow his game on the offensive end and be more than just a three-point specialist. Like I said, I think he can grow to be one of the best NBA scorers for his time once he retires.
What do you think, man? What do you think, Keenan?
Yeah, I mean, definitely it's going to be built around a long-range shot, but, I mean, if he can, I don't know, how is he at, like, driving the ball? Like, does he have good handles? I caught a few Kentucky games this year, but, I mean, you'd know better. You were the insider. What kind of game does he have, like, off the dribble? Like, does he have a quick first step? Like,
well, you know, his scouting report shows that he's not really exactly known for that, because obviously people are just raving about his shooting. And since he did only play a little bit of the one, you know, while he did play the one, he didn't play a ton because Ulis was there quite a bit. Yeah. And Ulis showed the ability even at, I can't remember exactly what his height is. I think it's 5'9".
5'9".
Yeah. It's 5'9". To drive. So Murray really became more of just a catch and shoot shooter, or a guy that would pull up on the perimeter. So he's not exactly known for that first step or for his drive.
For his playmaking.
Yeah,
sure.
And I think that is sort of what it would take to make that next step, right? Is that he could add, and I think his agent sort of knew that, and he was selling him on this combo guard. This guy can pass, he can dribble,
yeah,
he could play the point guard. The agent was really pushing that because I think that there's a mutual understanding between Jamal Murray and his agent and his quote-unquote camp, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, to take that next step, he needs to be a guy who can not just be the beneficiary of playmaking from an outside source, but be that generator of offense that a guy like, say, Steph Curry is, you know, as opposed to a guy like, you know, I love JJ and he's got all sorts of other skills and stuff, but JJ might be a little bit lost if it wasn't for Chris Paul.
Sure. And, you know, when you have a guy like Ulis running point, I mean, that dude was, like, All-American good. And he wasn't required to be a playmaker because Ulis was, you know, driving and cutting and passing and just running, basically running the offense when he was on the floor. So it's going to be sort of a new thing for Jamal Murray if he's going to have to become some sort of playmaker or some sort of I don't know, something that somebody they run an offense through. I think he's definitely going to have to up his game a little bit as far as court vision and dribbling go.
Hey, so Jeremy, you were on vacation. The thing about basketball is, like, ball never takes a vacation, you know. It's like a full-time job. Ball is life, but also life is life. But no, it's just ball is life. And, ball is life, dude. You know, while you were slacking off and drinking mojitos, you know, I was watching Summer League. So, were you able to catch any of the Summer League games? Were you able to watch any of Tyler Ulis's performances opposite his BFF, you know, Devin Booker?
I was able to catch some highlights. I definitely saw his buzzer beater from way behind the three-point line.
Oh, yep. So you saw some vines. Okay.
Yes, yes.
Against Jamal Murray, too, right?
Yes, yes.
I'm just kidding. You know, like, Summer League doesn't really mean anything. You know?
Well,
you're fine.
Going back, actually, to Murray in the lane, he was able to get a lot of foul attempts off of that in college. Or, sorry, free throw attempts off that in college. Okay. And in that Summer League game against Ulis, before Ulis hit that buzzer beater, Murray went inside, recovered the ball after getting stripped by Ulis, and put up a shot to give the Nuggets the lead.
That's right.
I remember that.
Yeah, I do too.
And you know, for all, you know, this talk about the Kentucky development and all of that, right? It's like, you look at guys like Anthony Davis, like Karl Anthony Towns, like even Devin Booker, right? Even the non-centers. But, you know, sort of especially the centers, they really do have this wide, you know, diverse and varied set of skills.
Mm-hmm.
Skills that make them
the nightmare for people.
For
like
people
you.
Like NBA players.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me all that much if these guys had, you know, these aspects to their games that, you know, people just sort of have to slowly discover, like Karl Anthony Towns, like Anthony Davis. Because, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, you know, it took until, you know, all of a sudden he's showing up for draft workouts and stuff, and he's, you know, nailing threes and stuff, and people are like, whoa, man, what's going on?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always potential with these Kentucky guys that there's more to them than meets the eye. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean, Jeremy?
Yeah, I know what you mean, for sure. That's actually something with Scalabissiere. We talked about earlier that we got the sense Cal may be using him the wrong way. And in his NBA workouts, he showed an outstanding jumper for a big man. So that's something that we could see in the future from him.
Yeah, you know, Scal, him sliding to the second round doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
It wasn't the second round. It was like 28th, I think. But yeah, basically.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very end of the first round. I think he's a steal. I think he's going to be a very solid player for where he was drafted.
I mean, like, if he's not, it's because he's in Sacramento.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for real, man.
But, you know, maybe he can overcome that adversity, and, you know, it sucks to talk about, you know, a Sacramento, like, it sucks to say being on this team is an adversity, but, like, that's just a reality. You know, it's one that, you know, a recent Kentucky big has been able to overcome, but, you know, Scal's not going to be like Boogie. He's not going to start out with, you know, the ability to sniff a starting role because, you know, George Papagiannopoulos, he's, you know, higher in the depth
chart.
Higher
in the rotation. Yeah,
yeah, and so will Willie Cauley-Stein, you know?
Yeah, I think that they just picked him because he fell so far. He didn't really feel a need for them necessarily.
Yeah. Well, I think they just picked him because they're f***ing dumb and they just picked centers. Is he a center, by the way, Jeremy?
He is a forward. He's definitely in the NBA going to be more of a stretch forward. There's no way he's going to be able to play down low.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. What about Porzingis?
What about Porzingis?
Sometimes I think he's a power forward.
Yeah? What does that have to do with Kentucky?
He's, like, basketball. He plays basketball.
He does play basketball. You're right.
Basketball's their round. They are often orange.
So, that is the sport we are discussing, yes.
You did it, Jerry.
Tie-ins.
So, you know, one great thing about Kentucky is that it's a college. And, you know, one great thing...
College, brah.
You know, one great thing about the NCAA is that Fan Essentials is now having college basketball NCAA gear...
No way.
For... Yeah, right?
I didn't know that.
They started doing NFL stuff, NFL nice. Gear, and then, you know... Well, they started out with NBA, and then they went off to NFL. They're adding, you know, MLB pretty soon.
Yeah.
And they have NCAA, and I know, Jeremy, right now, you're thinking to yourself... You know, what the fuck is Fan Essentials? Jeremy, is that what you're thinking right now?
Yes, I am actually wondering what Fan Essentials is.
Okay, there's no reason to swear, Jeremy, but let me tell you what FanEssentials.net is. FanEssentials.net, you know those subscription boxes, you know, stuff like Loot Crate, you know, the things, maybe 5-4 Club, where you get a monthly box full of, you know, neat knickknacks and, you know, stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, well, the thing about Fan Essentials, right, is that it's like that, except with sports. That's right, I said it. Sports. So, yeah, you know, you go to FanEssentials.net, you know, you choose which sport you want to get your Fan Essentials box from. You choose whether you want to get a veteran box for $34.99 or a rookie box for $14.99. But here's the kicker, Jeremy, okay? I'm sure you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, why is this dude telling me about FanEssentials.net? I'm telling you about FanEssentials.net because you, the listener, and you, Jeremy, I fully expect you to do this, can, after this podcast, jump on your laptop, and when you go to check out, use the promo code Almighty and get 30% off your first order. So, Jeremy.
Yes.
Are you going to do that?
I mean, I can do it right now if you want me to. I'm already on my laptop.
Oh, seriously? Let's do it right now. No, like, let's do it right now. I'll wait. No, but, you know, Jeremy, you should do it because, you know, earlier we had our Skype video on and you got to see some of the cool stuff that I have on my wall in this little studio. By the way, you know, Almighty Baller fans, Almighty Baller Podcast Network fans, I'm working on a cool new thing. It's going to be a video YouTube series, a weekly thing, and I'm setting up a little set, you know, a little TV YouTube set, and it's going to be really cool. And a lot of the great stuff I have decorating it is straight from FanEssentials.net. There's t-shirts, you know, there's a t-shirt in every box. There's hats, you know, I got the gardening gloves one time. There's a little pouch, bobbleheads, car decals, scarves, flip-flops, all the coolest stuff. And, you know, Jeremy, I would just feel bad for you if you didn't use the promo code Almighty to get 30% off your first order with Fan Essentials. And anyways, man, that's enough Fan Essentials.
All right, let's move on.
Let's move on. So, you know, into the second part of this here podcast that you're listening to, Keenan, and I might splice in some audio of all the different times that Keenan has said, man, imagine how great a Kentucky team would be if, like, there was a team that just had all guys from Kentucky. That would be insane, you know? So, like,
it would be.
So, Jeremy, I'm going to run you by what that team would look like, okay?
Okay.
Jeremy, I want to see if you agree or not, all right?
Okay.
And I'll give you some other options, okay? For me, I have Wall at the 1 and Bledsoe at the 2, okay? But you could also maybe say, all right, I want Brandon Knight even though he's shit. Or I want Devin Booker, you know, or, you know, Rajon Rondo even though he's shit. Jody Meeks. But, I mean, what do you think? You good with Wall and Bledsoe? Can we reach a consensus on that?
I think that that's probably your best 1-2 punch.
Jeremy, what do you think?
I think you take Wall and Bledsoe. Now, I think Rondo and Booker both make an argument because Rondo has seen an improvement in his play after his awful season in Dallas, and he's shown that he can still be a high-level passer like he was before. And Booker is showing potential of being a great scorer, but he's not quite, you know, he's only a rookie or in his second year now. He's not quite there. But Wall's athleticism and his ability as a two-way guard, as well as Bledsoe's experience, make them the best duo there.
Okay.
Sorry, we just hate Rajon Rondo on this show.
Why?
Okay, well, first of all, Jeremy, I'm from Dallas. Okay?
I am too.
And second of all right, do you have any idea how much time every day I spend thinking about basketball, you know, just dissecting things? You know, you were talking about the way that I record right now, the way that we're recording this podcast and how ingenious it is. Like, you know, let me say, as a basketball savant, as the Tom Thibodeau of podcasters, okay, that Rajon Rondo is terrible, and he's bad, and he's not good. So,
okay, the Celtics would not have won the 2008 NBA Finals without Rajon Rondo as their point guard.
Dude, you could have started a gutted sheep at point guard, and they would have won. You know, like, Rajon Rondo, it's like, yeah, man, like, you can do your flashy, stupid-ass passes and get your rebounds when, like, the floor is spread out with, like, you know, man, they had to, like, build around that deficiency. They had to have guys like James Posey. Do you think that they wanted to play that guy, what's his name? He's this, like, 6-foot three-point shooter.
Sounds like me. This is worth looking up.
Intramural league.
Do you think they wanted to play Eddie House? You know, I read this Deadspin article. House. Okay, they had Eddie House because of Rajon Rondo. Okay, all right, like
Rondo can't shoot.
Rondo's a garbage can. No. He shouldn't be in the NBA.
He averaged 11 assists a game last season.
Yeah, dude, he's like
in
he's
Sacramento.
An assist hunter.
Sacramento is a fiery trash can.
Yeah, and if he's so fucking great, why didn't he make it better?
And he averaged 11 assists.
Jeremy, like, I don't, like, know what to say, man. Like, I don't want to argue with you over something that I empirically know is true. You know, like, you know, I've found that people can have their opinions. You know, I'm not a bigot. If you want to, like, believe in, like, you know, Scientology or Islam or Christianity, like, whatever, that's fine. I might disagree with you. But, like, this is one of those things where it's not a belief. It is, like, a provable scientific fact that Rajon Rondo is a shithawk, okay? Like, he, like, you know, he's a disgrace to basketball. Nah.
Okay, can all right, here, I'll give you this. He is awful with coaches.
Okay, he's awful.
And that is a
all right,
huge
you
problem.
You heard it here first, folks. Jeremy, I hope no, you know that I'm just going to cut
coaches.
That audio right there. And he's just
like, oh, yeah,
that,
I,
he is
I'm
awful, and I'm just going to cut it, like, right there. So, like... So thanks. All right, I appreciate you conceding that point to me.
Yeah, no, that's not what I said.
That is what you said.
Well, that's the beauty of audio editing. We just make say whatever we want.
Exactly. Jeremy, I could make you say much worse things, man. So I would. I have you on tape. Okay, this is basically like water.
My game. Life is in your hands, sir.
Yeah, I could ruin you.
I could ruin you.
Okay. All right. Okay. So. You know, we talked earlier about, you know, some of Cal's, Coach Cal, Calipari, Coach Caterpillar.
Coach Caterpillar.
The very hungry caterpillar. He has this track record with developing bigs. So, after Wall and Bledsoe, you run into this problem where, you know, maybe the best wing right now in the NBA is, like, a guy like Archie Goodwin, perhaps. You know, I actually think that Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is great, you know, but, like, you know... What I did is at the three, I slid in Anthony Davis. What do you think about that?
I think that that's kind of a stretch just because of his height and his length. I think that he, especially since he's bulked up a little bit since getting into the NBA, he's not quite as scrawny as he was at UK. I think he serves better down low in the paint or playing at the four. For the three, I'd probably have to take Gilchrist.
Okay, so, like, you have Anthony coming off the bench, or do you have him at the four? Like, do you bench Karl Anthony Towns? Okay, all right. I'll say for my 3, 4, and 5, I've got Davis, Towns, and DeMarcus. And I think that there is enough, like, quickness, you know, defense, length, you know, playmaking ability, even though they're all centers, right, that you can make that work. You know, think about the late, great Boston Celtics that Bill Simmons won't shut the fuck up about, all right? Like, Larry Bird, if he was playing in the NBA today, he'd be a power forward, you know? And, like, Anthony Davis is, like, a power forward, but, like, that was a great team. And it'd be great right now.
You can't shoot like Bird, though.
Anthony Davis?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't. But, you know.
I mean, basically, it's also what we were talking about earlier this year, like, how you kind of beat, like, this is a random team, but, like, all right, the Warriors, you sort of beat them by playing, like, really big dudes out on the wing and just getting in their faces, you know what I mean? Like, half the time you have, like, forwards on Steph Curry to, like, make it harder for him to shoot, so maybe it would work. It'd be really good defensively, I'm sure, but...
You know, but, like, Jeremy, I think there's an argument for starting Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, but, like, who do you put out? Do you bench Davis, Towns, or DeMarcus?
I think if you have to go from those three, you have Towns come off the bench. But now that you see, I hadn't really considered the traffic, the log jam that you'd have there. Basically, I think playing one of them at the three would actually be more beneficial than having Gilchrist at the three. And then you let all three of them into that starting lineup because you have to play Cousins at the five. I think Towns lends himself well at the four with his explosiveness inside, especially his ability to get to the rim. And then, I guess you play Davis at the three, especially since he's starting to develop a three-point shot.
Yeah, well, you know, in the post-All-Star break, Anthony Davis shot 39%. Yeah, 39% for three. Do you know that, Jeremy?
I did not know the exact number, no.
Rajon Rondo is shit, okay? And, like, all right, and like I know things like that Anthony Davis shot 39%.
Because he's a nerd.
I'm not a nerd. I'm, like...
A savant.
A geek, whichever one's sexy, that's what I am. Whichever one is like on TV shows, like Beauty and the Geek or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, but
yeah, you probably just watch. Oh man, did you see the South Park?
You wouldn't be wrong. Just quote, "It's Always Sunny" all day.
It's always yeah. It's a quality TV show, Jeremy.
Yes. Quality television.
If you had to say that. Man, I don't know. Okay, so who's the sixth man?
Let's see. So if we're playing Davis 3, Towns 4.
Let me shoot some of the options, okay?
Okay, are you getting... Okay.
Booker, okay? Cauley Stein, Nerlens Noel, Brandon Knight, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Terrence Jones.
Terrence Jones, right? Trey Lyles, you know, Jody Meeks, P-Pat. Julius
Pat.
Julius Randle, Rajon basketball player Rondo. James Young, hey, he's gonna get waived by the Celtics.
Aaron Harrison,
you know, I would rather have James Young than Rajon Rondo on my team.
They don't even play the same position. But to get to your question, I think just because you've got Davis playing the three, I think I have Booker as the sixth man just to provide a really good shooting option coming off the bench, and then I would put Rondo right after him.
You man, like, what are you doing?
He averaged
man?
A double double last season.
You're coming in here with your double double, like whatever. I don't care, you know. I want a good player, okay? And like, Rajon Rondo is not good, man. Like, you're fighting an uphill battle, okay? Like,
11 assists per game,
dude. That doesn't mean anything, okay? Like, you know. Damn. Jeremy, okay, I'm hot and bothered by this. I have you on my podcast. I'm gracious, okay? You know, and you come on and you talk about Rajon Rondo, and like, every time I say his name, I cringe a little bit. And like, I don't need this in my life right now. You know, I work so hard, and you know, like, stuff like this stresses me out. I'm gonna die in an early grave. One day I'm gonna be walking down the street and I'm gonna hear someone say the word Rajon Rondo, and I'm just gonna keel over and have a stroke, and it's gonna be because of you, Jeremy. And I hope you like are okay.
You
with...
killed me.
You have blood on your hands.
I'm okay with that. As long as I can maintain that Rajon Rondo is a awful point guard, I'm okay with
I'm
that.
I'm just gonna edit in awful. I'm just gonna say, like, I'm just gonna grab that off from earlier. It's like, as long as I can maintain that Rajon Rondo is awful. Alright, thank you, Jeremy, again for conceding that point. Alright, great.
I didn't, but okay.
We can move on. No, you did. moving forward, let's see. Just touching on some of the other guys, you know, I think that eight-man lineup is great. Just sort of out of some of these other younger Kentucky guys, and, you know, I think we'll probably just hold off on the Suns talk, and this will be our last little segment here, okay? What do you think, you know, ranking, who has the most promise? If you had to bet, like, say, you know, on the average, you know, not median, but the mean career, you know, for Willie Cauley-Stein, Trey Lyles, Nerlens Noel, can we all agree that Booker's probably the best sophomore?
Yeah, think that's fair.
I mean, his pure shooting ability is pretty
good. Yeah, fair. You know, and like, he's a good playmaker too, and he doesn't just pad his stats like Rajon Rondo. Yeah, and he was really probably the best passer on that Suns team, especially, and I mean, like, you know, Eric Bledsoe, you know, is a really talented NBA player. But, you know, I think as far as, like, you know, playmaking in the pick and roll, you know, he's sort of limited in that respect. He's better at just going downhill. He's almost sort of like, you know, a small forward in ways. You know what I mean? And Brandon Knight is bad also, like Rondo. So
Brandon Knight isn't like a huge prick.
Yeah. I guess, like, you know, at least Brandon Knight wouldn't be like a cancerous cyst on whatever team he's on.
Brandon Knight also doesn't have an NBA championship.
Yeah, you know who else has an NBA championship? Timofey Mozgov, okay? Like, you know, like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, if you're gonna, like, come on this podcast and talk about, like, oh man, count your rings. Like, can you believe this guy? Okay?
Timofey Mozgov's highlight of the season was him drinking alcohol in the locker room.
Man, did you see, have you seen that, Darko Milicic video that came out a while back of him just, like, in, like, Ukraine, like, jamming out to Russian, like, Eastern European pop music and, like, crushing beers on his forehead?
That sounds awesome.
It's awesome. It's like...
That sounds like a video I need to see.
I need to see that video. I need to see it yesterday.
You just need to, like, open it up. Like, just look up Darko Milicic, like, beer. It'll probably come up.
Okay.
Oh, God. I'm going to record a podcast about why Rajon Rondo's bad. And...
I think you need to reserve a podcast for me and you to just go at it about this for about 45 minutes.
You know, he is so big, man.
You know, Mark Twain famously said,
he also named a character like the N-word, so I don't know if we should listen to his advice.
Well, yeah, Mark Twain, I mean, I don't really care. But I'm going to look this up really quick. You know, actually, I hate Mark Twain. He's almost as bad as Rondo. So, like, you know.
They are both legends.
It's something.
I will not stand for this Rajon Rondo and Mark Twain slander right now.
Dude, God. Jeremy, you know, I heard such great things about you, and now that, like, I talked to you for, like, 45 minutes, I just, like, damn. Jeremy, you're truly the worst. I'm just kidding, man. It's been great having you on.
Thank you. I appreciate being on.
It's been fun.
Well, and, I want to ask something about... So, what did Nerlens Noel, like... What did he look like this year? Like, stats-wise?
I mean, he wasn't quite as good as he was last year. Last year, he was, like...
12-10 or something. 12-8 or something, right?
He was, like, all defensive NBA... Like, all NBA defense, sort of.
Do you think part of the reason he sort of fell off is because he plays for the fucking Sixers?
Yeah. That's got something to do with it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, they were sort of like, you know, wedging him in, except it was less like wedging, it was more like tire ironing him in. It's not like a circle and a square hole, it was like a fucking rhombus and like a, you know, tetrahedron.
You have to turn it sideways, jam it in.
Yeah, like, you know, they sort of were lacking for spacing, they, you know, didn't have a good fit. He was also coming off of like some injury problems, and I think that, you know, Nerlens Noel. You know, history, he runs the risk of history just remembering him as not as good of a player as he was because his injuries aren't the type of thing that's going to keep him out for seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's going to be the type of thing that might linger and just sort of hold him back.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So, I mean, you know, how do you feel about Willie Cauley-Stein? I really like Willie. I am in the process of trying to figure out whether I just like him. Because I read an article about him one time and thought it was cool. You know what I mean? One of those like things where you just like identify with a guy one time because you read like an article.
That's what I do with Jalen Brown.
Well, but Jalen Brown's solid. He's cool. You know, like plenty of guys don't end up like Jeff Green. You know? Plenty of guys end up like Paul George. You know?
Yeah.
Like those guys, right? You know what I'm talking about? Like, it was a reach, but yeah. It was a reach, man. You gotta reach. So, what do you think about Willie Cauley-Stein? Because I think he's gonna be great. He should be a starting center. You know, he is banished to Sacramento, like Rondo, but... You know, what do you think, man? What did you see of him at your time in Kentucky, you know, when you were thinking, okay, Willie Cauley-Stein's going into the NBA, what did you picture him as at the peak of his powers?
Cauley-Stein very much fits today's role as a big man. We don't have many good post-up players today. We have... He reminds me of a DeAndre Jordan. He can protect the rim. He can't post up, but he can score inside. He's good for some posterizing dunks. He's not going to win over the basketball purists that want to see a good post up game, but he's going to play well, and I think he's got a chance to be really good.
Some people watch basketball and like watch the Sacramento Kings, so they know that Rondo's shit. But they're also watching the Kings, so they see things like Willie Cauley-Stein on the fast break doing little pull up 10-footers. Like, you know, I'm sure you didn't realize that was a thing, but he's got this sort of soft touch within, like, you know, 10 to 6 feet that a guy like DeAndre, you would never see that. So, I mean, I'm not even sure if it's, like, a psychological thing. Like, you know, like, Dwight Howard in a lot of his interviews this offseason, he's like, you know, I could do it in practice, but I can't do it in the game. And I'm not sure if it's, like, Willie Cauley-Stein isn't all that different, but he just, like, has... You know, the gall to do things like that, but it's not even the gall. Like, he has the confidence to do things like that. But, you know, whether or not it's confidence or skill set that guys like Dwight Howard or, you know, DeAndre Jordan have, you know, either way, he's doing it when they're not. And, you know, I think that adds a really interesting dynamic to his game.
Yeah, I think you're right. I personally wish that more big men would learn how to shoot from, you know, just outside the paint or from in close, like 10 feet. Because their arms are so long, you think they'd be able to do it much better than they can. And I think that you're right. Cauley-Stein's confidence allows him to pull up small jumpers like that and make them.
You know, but like his confidence, you know, for his detractors, and this is part of the reason why I have a hard time feeling him out, because like I'm suspicious of my personal bias sneaking into it unlike Rajon Rondo, who's actually shit. But, like, his detractors would say about him, Willie Cauley-Stein, I mean, that he's a little too confident, you know, that, like, he thinks he's better than he actually is. Did he show flashes of that in Kentucky, or, you know, I mean, what was your impression of him, you know, just sort of, you know, on the court or, you know, in interviews?
I don't know that I would ever say that he showed overconfidence, but he's, like a lot of athletes are today, I think he's a more expressive person. I don't know if you've seen some of the hairstyle progressions he's gone through, yeah. But he's a bit expressive. And I think that's really all that is. And sometimes that comes back to bite today's athletes. They get a little cocky. Other times it works out pretty well. See Cam Newton all the way up until the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. So let's end this on Trey Lyles. So, you know, I think that Trey Lyles is going to end up being the best player on the Jazz and an all-NBA caliber guy. What do you think?
I think that he shows a lot of potential. He was the 12th pick. Something about playing in Utah makes you go very overlooked, I guess.
Well, I can answer that for you. It's because it's in Utah.
Well, that is true. Yeah,
small media market out there.
Yeah, it's they need more men in their media.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Too
real.
Oh man, sirens.
Sorry, the cops are coming to kick our door in.
You know the thing with Trey Lyles, right? Is that I think that people underestimate the evaluation of players based on a handful of things that they can consistently do. You know, you can see that in guys like Kobe when he was 34, 35, you know, before, like, you know, the 15th ACL tear or whatever. You know, like, he had this ability, right, where he could do this mid-range back-to-the-basket game and do a fadeaway jumper from either shoulder, and, like, that was enough. Like, add 10 points to his game right there. And he could do these, you know, spin moves from the baseline and do a reverse layup or a floater, and like, boom, that's 5 more points a game. He would do that, you know? And like, you know, if you think of players as the amalgam of their capability to score, you can sort of piece out what their role could be within an offense. And I think in a lot of cases, that's how coaches are thinking of them. And I think that Trey Lyles has a really unique skill set, so unique, in fact, that I think that, you know, there's maybe Kevin Durant and LeBron can do this specific thing, okay? Like, Trey Lyles has this great ability. Like, you know, like I'm saying, maybe, you know, 5 guys in the NBA can pull this off. But he can pump fake from 3, right, and get to the basket in 2 strides. That's hard to do, you know? Like, it's like, there's being quick, and then there's having these ultra-long legs that you can just get to the basket with ease. And if his 3-point jumper, you know, continues at the rate that it's going up, and people have to respect that shot, he's going to have this whole dynamic to his game that's going to be horrifying.
Yeah, he shot a little under 40% from 3 last season. And I think you're right. I mean, at 6'10", his length helps him a lot in his ability to draw defenders out to the 3-point line. And like you said, if his 3-point shot continues to grow, they're going to have to respect him out there. And then he's able to get them in the air and get under them and go to the basket and finish like a power forward, like you would expect a power forward to do.
Well, yeah. Well, like you would expect that sort of, you know, Kevin Durant, LeBron, like small forward, power forward, like, you know, or Draymond Green, right?
Yeah.
You know, you know, it's like, that's what I see out of Trey Lyles. And, you know, another reason why I think that's going to be such a, you know, plus in Utah is, you know, I just think that's what they really need. That's what makes the most sense next to their guys who I think are, you know, going forward, going to be the type of guys who can win a championship. I mean, like Gobert. I mean, like Dante Exum. I mean, like Gordon Hayward. You know, they got George Hill. I like George Hill.
Yeah.
Jazz are going to be good.
I agree that the Jazz are going to be good.
Do you know who David Locke is, Jeremy?
I believe I do.
So you know who,
he wrote that thing in the 1700s, right?
Yeah, that was him.
Yeah, that was definitely
him. Yeah, I really like the Jazz. I'm having a team preview for the Jazz coming up here soon on the 25th of July. Really looking forward to that.
We need to have more discussion about Rajon Rondo. I need to convince you of a few things. But
dude, you can't... do you think you are, Jeremy? You don't come onto my podcast and convince me of things.
Don't you tell me how to live my life. Don't you ever tell me how to live my life.
Dude, you know, I go toe-to-toe with these guys, okay? Like, you know, you bring any basketball mind in here, you know, I... fucking hell, man. Like, Jesus Christ. All right, hey, Jeremy, you know, I'm giving you a hard time, but, you know, like I was saying... You know, I've heard great things about you from a guy who I really trust. I trust him so much that I gave him a podcast on the network, soon to be two. And, Jeremy, you are a recurring character in Teed Up, right?
Yes, yes. I work at Hoji Smoji Zero Carbon Estate, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and listener, if you haven't listened to it yet...
So entertaining.
It's really so great. It's such an interesting idea. It's really good. And like, so it's a story, right? And it also is basketball analysis. So it's like, you know, basically each episode we go to Hoji's, you know, Zero Carbon Estate, you know, some shenanigans happen. But like throughout the story, you're learning about basketball. You're learning about Brandon Ingram. You're learning about why the Golden State Warriors are going to be dominant. And you're learning about why Rajon Rondo's a piece of shit. So
I don't think we've talked about that, but okay.
You know, it's a great time. It's a really interesting concept. I just haven't listened to anything quite like it. It's
really, really well done.
Yeah, super really well done. You know, really, really worth the listen. If only just to hear something new, you know, like so many podcasts, you know, are just sort of like the same, you know, like, with like Stephen A's, actually, I don't want to hit on Stephen A's, but Stephen A. Smith's great. But you know, like those sort of like sports talk, you know, like, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. But this is truly a unique experience. You know, you get a story, you get some basketball, and I highly suggest that you listen to it, and you listen to it also because my new friend, Jeremy Chisenhall, editor for Sea of Blue, Kentucky SB Nation site, and co-host of the podcast, The J&K Sports Show. He's on Teed Up. He's also on his own podcast that I just already said the name of. And Jeremy, thanks so much for coming on, man. It was great talking to you. Just one more time for the folks at home, where can they find your Twitter account?
My Twitter is at JS Chisenhall. Thanks for having me on, Chris. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, definitely. It was good talking Kentucky. Maybe Keenan will like shut up about it for a little bit. I'm just kidding, man. I give Keenan too hard of a time.
I find it fascinating.
No, Kentucky's great. You know, Keenan's great. You know, I'm probably going to name this podcast like Keenan Tucky or something like that.
Keen Tucky.
Yeah, Keen Tucky. Exactly. That's what I'm going to name it. Great, man. We got it right there.
Boom.
You know, it's good talking to you. Rondo sucks. Good night, everyone. Thanks for
later, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys. See ya.